He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, October 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today as he's traveling the friendly skies to get over to St. Regis in lovely Longboat Key. So he won the lottery in terms of us three here today, Jeff. But we'll see what happens with the FAA though. Why he's getting over there? But markets, he'll be happy to hear this. Markets are up. We've got pretty much all green on the screen besides Bitcoin. We've got the Dow up 0.83% at the this moment, up 379 points to 46,650. We've got the S&P 500 in the green as well, up over a percent, 1.07% to be exact, and that's hitting, I think it's got to be an all-time high. We're at 6,716, so I'm pretty sure we haven't said that number on the show yet before. And also, we've got the NASDAQ pushing, getting closer to that 23,000 mark. We've got 22,809, up almost 300 points, up 1.3% today. I've got crude oil getting gaining back a little bit, still under $60 at just under 59 bucks, up about 0.5% today. And gold continues to go up, 1.48% at the moment, so above the $4,200 level at $4,204. And as I said, Bitcoin, only thing in the red here, down 1% today. Just under $112,000 per coin. Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, October 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, taking the wheel for Bill as he's traveling down to South Florida today, the Sarasota Longboat Key area. And as always, excited to have Jeff Webster joining me on the show today. Thanks for sitting in there as my wingman. How's it going?
It's going great. Delighted to be here today. It's been a while. Look forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's short of kind of Friday's hiccup. It's felt, at least it feels pretty good lately. We'll see how long that lasts. But, of course, not all rosy for everyone. Some of our government workers obviously are still at home. We're in the 15th day, if we're counting at home, 15th day of the U.S. Government shutdown. I'm interested to see, kind of get some boots on the ground perspective from Bill today to see how his flight goes this morning. Hopefully not too many hiccups for him. It's not a long flight down there, so hopefully everything will go according to plan. I know I don't know if you've heard any stories, Jeff, but I've had a small sample size, but we had a couple of friends over the weekend who were traveling with their little ones and families. And the short version was, their experiences ranged from interesting to disastrous. So one couple had to stay over an extra night. The other couple had their kids around some folks who were probably a bit overserved and maybe sitting in the airport maybe a little bit too long, they all eventually made it to where they were going safely, not quite sure how much of that really falls on the TSA or air traffic control issues, but the airlines, sure have someone to blame at the moment if they want to for their delays, but. It's likely have a chance to continue the blame in the shutdown though for a couple more weeks. We've seen some prediction markets where this could end up being one of the longest shutdowns in history. I believe the longest one was from December of 2018 to January of 2019. I think that one lasted about 35 days. the odds of it lasting over 35 days went up yesterday. And from what I hear, it sounds like we've got the money to pay our military and Coast Guard, thank goodness, today. But then 2 weeks from today, Jeff, they're going to be wanting another paycheck, and those funds may be a little bit harder to scrounge up. So,
Yep.
We've got another 2 weeks on the end of this. That would take us to 29 days, which would be a little bit under that record amount, but I did see somewhere where I think this is the third longest shutdown that we've had, over the years. So we'll do that. We'll do with that what it is. But looking forward to getting an update from Bill once he gets on the ground down there in Florida.
Absolutely. Wishing him safe travels today. I know that I've got family traveling today. To different places, so we'll look forward to getting their feedback as well. Now, it's my understanding that the TSA is not impacted by this shutdown. I'll need to double-check that, but it's my understanding they have a defined contract.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that sheet that you sent over that was pretty interesting in terms of who gets paid, who doesn't get paid, why they get paid, if they do get paid, and it was pretty enlightening. Of course, there's a lot of government laws and red tape and stuff that defines a lot of those different iterations of those employees and so. It'll be, I know on the air traffic controller side, I saw something, I think it was end of last week, where they had the most, air traffic controllers out that they've had since like early 2022, I guess, whenever, travel picked back up after COVID. So we'll see. As long as, delays are one thing, as long as everybody gets there safely is the most important thing. So,
Yep.
Well, I guess before we read today's tea leaves, we can recap yesterday's market activity and tell you exciting to see. It's always nice when we host the show and we've got plenty of green on the screen. Yesterday was a bit more of a mixed bag. We had the Dow finishing up. Dow was actually up yesterday, just over 0.4%. The Dow and the Nasdaq were down, or S&P, I should say, S&P and the Nasdaq were down. S&P was down about 16 basis points. Nasdaq down just over three quarters of a percent. But the Nasdaq seeing some numbers. Nasdaq's gotten back all of its gains that were lost. At least where we're at sitting right now, all of the gains that were lost on Friday. Market activity continues to be driven around, rhetoric revolving trade with China, and we'll get into some of that push-pull. We're finally getting into some earnings season, so we'll actually have some data to kind of run through later on the show. Heard on True Social Post, First it was a battle over rare earth minerals, right? And chips, meaning, we'll trade you, some NVIDIA chips for some rare earth minerals. And now it seems that we might be trading, some soybeans for cooking oil. So we've gotten, we're touching the entire spectrum here. That we may consider ending some of our cooking oil trade with China. I guess we're gonna, we'll start making our own cooking oil over here. I guess I didn't really realize that we didn't make a lot of our cooking oil over here, but it's a fairly interesting trade-off. Not the trade-off I thought that headline that I would see when we woke up this morning, right?
It'll be interesting to see how those markets, futures and forward contracts are impacted by, that banter that's going back and forth in those areas.
Yeah. I mean, and we've got, we've got clients that are, that are farmers, and actually I talked to someone last week who, they've been harvesting soybeans. The good thing for them, they're not impacted as much because they have the ability to store the soybeans. And so they can kind of course, you know, wait it out a little bit in terms of pricing and actually getting those soybeans delivered. But it's still, big crop for the U.S. Corn and soybeans are kind of the two huge farming, kind of the cash cows for a lot of American farmers, that and throwing some wheat there. But so that kind of, we're kind of gotten this trade-off, I feel like, where we're moving from trade, and then finally we're moving into some earnings. So we'll get into some of those earnings when we get back for the second segment of the show. We're just getting started here on the Best Stocks Now. We'll be right back. Here to the Wednesday, October 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, taking the wheel for Bill today. And as usual, we've got Jeff Webster joining us on the show. Obviously, Jeff, a lot of you spoke to him, advisor here at the firm. And glad to have him to banter back and forth with. Of course, when we look at on and off air, and so when of course we've still got plenty of green on the screen. Not much has changed with the markets. I know I need to go back. I know Bessent was scheduled for the press conference around 9:15 this morning.
I'm not seeing anything yet on that. I checked about 10 minutes ago. Hadn't seen anything.
Yeah, I figured either maybe the press conference is a little delayed, or at worst, nothing, was said, either overly good or overly bad. It doesn't seem like he does pretty good in front of the microphone, in terms of talking the markets. And he's been in it for a very, very long time and knows, knows how to navigate that, that space, from a market sentiment standpoint. So, it'll be interesting to see what his comments are once they come out. But, good news is, the S&P is up, or the NASDAQ's up, 1.36%, leading the way, and all the other, equity indices are in the green, at the moment. So, it's pretty interesting. I know we had, when we look at the markets today, we kind of have this, we've got this push-pull narrative driven, on one end by headlines, and of course on the other end via data, primarily earnings data, and the primary, news driver certainly, as of late continues to be tariff talk, as we observe exactly what happened, with the rhetoric. On Friday, with the market taking a tumble, as the president mentioned, the November 1st 100% tariff threat deadline on China, and then of course it kind of cooled over the weekend, and stocks recovered pretty significantly on Monday. Yesterday, China, kind of talked a little tough, and we went, went backwards just a bit with a mixed day yesterday, and then of course now. We've got things back in the green. So a bit up and down. But the good news is, I think, we get in these, Bill always talking and obviously talking about, stock prices follow earnings, and, just the way the earnings cycle, works is, you end up with these, periods of time between earnings season. And that's where, some of the, whether it's, rhetoric, news driven, or just, sentiment kind of drives the market. And then of course we're kind of made it through that pretty well. And now it's kind of the handoff over to, handoff back to earnings. And, we get the financial earnings are usually the first ones, that kind of kick it off. But, You know, we, you know, right now it's just, you know, we kind of sit back and wait. We were talking to a couple of clients yesterday, and it's, you know, had a client, you know, ask you, what happened on Friday? and it's, you know, really, it's, you know, it's just a, you know, not an event you can really hedge much against. I guess gold has probably been the biggest hedge for that. But, you know, it's just, you know, things get said and markets move, whether it's whether it's uncertainty or whether on the actual words said. And then, of course, we get, you know, the data side kind of brings us back a little bit more towards reality. And the banks have, you know, really, we'll highlight, you know, some of those in the second half of the show. But, you know, banks lead us off you know, in terms of earnings season. So we got that kicked in. And speaking of leadoffs, your Dodgers and the Seattle Mariners are off to a pretty good start to the championship series. What, both starting out 2-0. So y'all, our Seattle listeners,
yeah,
and you as a Dodgers fan, you probably feel pretty good today, huh?
Absolutely. Yamamoto, first pitch of the game, he gave up a home run, and then he ended up pitching a complete game.
Yeah.
First time since 2004 that a Dodger pitcher has completed a full game in a playoff.
Yeah, and
so
I saw something.
It was impressive.
Yeah, I saw something. What, there hasn't been a complete game, you know, in the playoffs pitched by anyone, I think, it was 8 years to the day or so. So, just pretty remarkable in today's era of, you know, bring your reliever in at the 4.5 inning, and just, you know, go throw a million arms at you in the last half of the game. But yeah, starting out 2-0. Good news is you didn't have to. It wasn't much of a nail biter as it was for your first game. So you should be well rested.
These managers, Barry, they're also jumping into the AI craze. They're using analytics. They're using all this information. The classical movie that was out, you know, a dozen years or so ago, Moneyball. It's all analytic driven and stuff like that, based on how they think things are going to perform. Yep.
Yeah, and Billy Bean, of course, you know, he, you know, at the A's, and then, you know, some of that, you know, one of the first kind of, I guess, through that ecosystem, the, you know, first disciple that went out from the A's, I believe, actually went to the Dodgers. I think he ended up somewhere on the East Coast eventually. But, yeah, I mean, you know, data, was it, your pitcher the night before had a little, you know, didn't he pull out like a cheat sheet and had some of his, you know, kind of had his pitches already planned out ahead of time, which is pretty, pretty remarkable. I hadn't seen that before. You know, usually they're just checking them to see if they have any sticky stuff on their hands versus, you know, pulling out your, you know, reminds me of the old play sheet on the, you know, on the quarterbacks where they're flipping and going through the play sheet. But, Snell pitched a very good game too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the thing is, you know, with the financials leading off, you know, just a ton of, you know, from an earnings standpoint, I mean, investment banking, has been a very big bright spot for these financials, which, you know, and we've seen deal making. We'll get into some of the AI deals that just keep, you know, seems like every day we hear of a new AI deal. But in terms of, you know, a environment in which investment, right, it seems like it's a good, pretty good environment for deal making, a pretty good environment for investment banking, and, you know, M&A activity was pretty much not much for the last, you know, say, call it two years or so. And so it's you know, nice to see some of that back. It just shows you that companies, you know, either they feel the need to invest or they feel that it's a good time to invest. And a lot of that's related back to where we see asset prices going in the market. So
yep,
we'll get into some of those earnings when we get back for the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. But it must use the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must use the wrong call. Hit us in a bad league, and I wonder what's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Wednesday, October 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, serving as relief captain for Bill this morning as he's traveling down to the St. Regis for a conference he'll be speaking at on Friday at the St. Regis in Longboat Key. If you're interested in attending, you can always give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And of course, if you're interested in getting a copy of the newsletter or talking to Jeff or myself about how you're positioned and how we could potentially help you or at least lead you in the right direction, you're always welcome to give us a ring, 855-611-BEST. It's 855-611-2378, or, of course, you can reach us at the website at GundersonCapital.com. But it looks like markets remain in the green, so good news is Bill should be having a smooth flight as long as he made it on there. So he's not he'll be pleasantly surprised when he with the green on the screen, right? And of course, real quick, before we get into some earnings, I mean, this is primarily a stock-driven show, but in 2025, we really can't talk about the global markets without mentioning gold. Just been a remarkable run. I heard a comment from the famous economist Ed Yardeni recently said that gold is the new Bitcoin. So we're seeing really a historic rise in the precious metal, also on the silver end. Obviously silver has, precious metal characteristics, but also is an industrial metal. So a little bit different, demand function there on the silver side. And we've got, a bit of a short squeeze in terms of, delivery of silver at the moment. And that's what's been kind of, sending those prices to, historic levels. But, continually seeing, estimates on
Barry, take a minute to talk about the difference between owning physical gold versus purchasing some type of an ETF equity or investing in a mining company. What should investors be thinking about, our listeners be thinking about as they consider, those types of options?
Yeah. And so, you kind of laid out three different options, right? Obviously, we could go, buy the physical bullion, right? The trick there, obviously, you've got to store it, protect it. And, where do you store it, right? And holding physical gold, right? A lot of times that's going to be driven by, we've got some kind of, apocalyptic type event, or you've got where, a run on banks. You don't want to keep your, you don't want to keep your gold bars at the, at your safety deposit box, because when you need it, guess what? You may not be able to go to the bank and get it. So there's, kind of that natural, thought process of I want to keep it close, right, and have it next to me, the physical gold. The tricky part there a lot of times is finding liquidity. If you wanted to sell it, a lot of times you're gonna take a bit of a haircut when you go to somewhere to sell that physical gold. On the ETF side, the most important thing is you want the ETF to be backed by the backed by physical gold. So we use at the firm we use GLD, for example. GLD, every share of GLD that's issued you know, there has to be a, you know, there has to be that amount of gold behind the scenes, right, available if you know, to back that particular you know, ETF share up. There's some ETFs out there that you want to be a little bit more wary of that use, you know, futures contracts, right? So they don't own the gold. They have, you know, they have exposure to gold via, you know, the futures market, right? It'd be like if you and I, you know, orange juice futures, right? We're not holding the, you know, the old Trading Places, movie. We're not holding,
right?
You know, physical frozen orange juice, you know, in our, you know, at our house. We own a futures contract on that particular commodity. So, you know, the further you get away from the physical gold, right? In my opinion, right? The, you know, the kind of, you know, more risk or just more chance that say that ETF doesn't react exactly with gold, because you can have other variables affect futures contracts that may not affect, that you don't have to worry about if you actually, you know, own the gold or if you have an ETF that's backed by the gold. And then of course the third element is, you know, owning a miner, right? The part with the, you know, the part about a miner is of course, you know, they have to run the business properly, right? So it's not just about the value of the underlying commodity. Obviously, it depends on how well they are operating the business, what their expense structure is, what their debt structure is. So, you know, one of the reasons why you'll see some, you know, gold miners, you know, significantly say outperform the price of the metal is because, you know, they may be using leverage, right? Most businesses are going to have some component of debt. And so, you know, using debt, right, will allow them to say, get that metal out of the ground, more efficiently. And they're using someone else's money and their cost of capital is, you know, lower, usually with debt financing versus equity financing. And so you get, you know, a bit of a kicker. Think of, you know, the MicroStrategy, for example. If you were, you know, as a Bitcoin, you know, miner or holder of Bitcoin, you know, they're borrowing money and buying Bitcoin. And so you have a leverage component to that particular business. So it's,
I like the latter two myself. Little more tradable, usable. You can certainly, on the gold mining stocks, you can track performance.
Yeah.
You can track profit. You know, there's something behind that asset that you've purchased, which, you know, in the case of a gold mining company, the stock, you know, there's something that you can actually tie to,
yeah,
as opposed to just hoping that someone is willing to pay more for the bar of gold than what you paid for it.
Yeah, and liquidity too, right? Liquidity function, you know, with an ETF, right? If you want to sell that GLD position today, right, we can go into the, you know, we can go into the equity markets and be out of gold, you know, in, you know, a matter of seconds if we want to versus,
yep,
you know, versus, I always tell this story. I had a client years ago who had, she had about 80 grand in gold that she wanted to sell, right? And it was probably one of the more tricky kind of things that I've ever kind of tried to figure out. So me and my head of financial planning practice in Nashville. And so we had, you know, okay, how are we going to sell this $80,000 worth of gold coins, right? And the biggest trick was getting the gold from her house to the place where we're going to sell it, right? It's like, okay, you know, as financial planners, we could help her, you know, hey, throw it in the trunk, let's go, right? You know, my partner was a great marksman, right? He certainly could have protected it along the way. Of course, the firm is.
Did he have a Brinks armored vehicle?
Yeah, that's what we ended up having to do. So, of course, the firm is like, yeah, probably not the most compliant thing for you guys to just hop in the car and drive it over there for her. And so, yeah, we had to literally had to rent a Brinks truck, came and picked it up and took it to the place. I think the Brinks truck cost around $2,500 at the time. I mean, it was, you know, what happens is it's expensive to sell it. So at least in the,
yep,
in the equity markets, right, we can get out of it pretty quickly. And on a side note, in terms of holding the physical metal, I've, you know, had a number of prepper clients over the years, and you know, they're bigger on holding junk silver. Silver, you know, silver is kind of an easier thing to break up in terms of bartering versus, you know, breaking off some tiny piece of gold. And so, you know, they focused on, if you're going to hold something physical, their suggestion was holding silver, but that's, you know, to each their own in that sense. The only problem with silver is, of course, it weighs more. So you've got to need a bigger safe because
what weighs more, Barry, a pound of gold or a pound of silver?
That's a trick question.
A pound of feathers.
That's a trick question. Yeah, but to have 100K of 100K of silver or 100K of gold, right? You got to have a. It's a lot heavier to move around, but you know, it's just
you need a reinforced floor in your basement or wherever you're storing it, right?
Yeah, and it's just pretty remarkable. I've actually seen some numbers where gold has actually outperformed the equity markets over the last 20 years. I got to go double check that number myself, but I did read that this morning in prepping for no pun intended for the gold discussion. Well, we're three-fourths of the way through the show, and we'll be right back and finish up and get into some earnings finally.
On a winter's day, you gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do.
Welcome back to the October 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, sitting in for Bill today, and Jeff Webster is also joining me on the show. We've got still some strong numbers in the market here. We've got Nasdaq still up 1.28%. And we've got the S&P up just right at 1%, and the Dow bringing up the rear there, still in the green, up 0.63%. Gold also just under that 4,200 mark, up 1.31%. But we've got some big earnings, and you finally got a tech company coming.
Should I jump into it, Bear?
Yeah, get in there.
Should I jump into
ASML? Gosh, we're going to start there. Or where are we going to start?
Let's talk about the banks first.
Yeah,
I mean, these
okay.
guys, they're the best sandbaggers in the world. if you look at them, you know, we've got Bank of America, earnings beat. Citibank, earnings beat. BlackRock, not a bank, an investment and asset management company, big earnings beat. Goldman Sachs, beat. JP Morgan, beat. Morgan Stanley, beat. Wells Fargo, beat. Some of the major regional and super regional banks, Citizens and Synchrony Bank, big beats. And so the question is why? Why is this happening? And really, it kind of narrows to five key things. One, their net interest income and yield curves, tailwind stuff. Of course, banks profit from the spread that they get from what they pay for deposits and short-term funding compared to what they're loaning out on their longer term assets. So that's been going good. Two, they have a very, very resilient consumer and corporate credit position right now where they have lower losses. There's been fewer defaults. That space has remained very stable and even improved. So delinquencies and charge-offs were down. Three, they're seeing strong fee and non-interest income from trading, capital market activity, and investment banking. So merger and acquisition, equity and debt underwriting, IPOs, advisory fees, all those types of things are going up. And then, of course, more people and institutions jumping into the market, produces a better trading revenue. Fourth, they're becoming very good at operating leverage and managing their costs. So good activity there. And then just based on how the markets have been going, you know, since things recovered from the tariff talks. I mean, there's just good, positive sentiment out there that is driving consumer and institutional finance activity in the form of borrowing and investing. All very, very good stuff for the banks.
And Morgan Stanley, I mean, they're, you know, they're obviously, you know, more of a, you know, going to be more on the investment banking side than, say, a traditional bank. And I mean, their numbers, I mean, I think they know the assignment. It was, they came in, earnings came in at $2.80. Estimate was $2.11. And, you know, so they, it's quite a beat. And then.
Handbaggers.
Yeah, and then I don't know if this revenue number was, I got to double check if this is really the consensus number, but net revenue was $18.2 billion. The estimate was $10.7 billion. So they, you know, kind of basically over, you know, almost beat it by, you know, I mean, almost close to 100%, almost 80% here in terms of.
Well, the bar will be risen going into the fourth quarter. You know, I was looking at what the estimates have all kicked up now. Now, flipping over to our semiconductor space, ASML, our Dutch company you know, I think they're Europe's largest company right now. They reported net sales of 7.5 billion euros with net income of 2.1 billion net income in euros. I mean, that's pretty rich net income on that $7.5 billion in sales. So very, very impressive.
They just had one of my favorite things that I've heard in a while. They said they said orders surpassed estimates in the third quarter, and it noted that sales next year would not be less than 2025. I'm like, what kind of guidance is that? I've never heard that before. It's like, hey, good news is sales are not going to be lower than this year. So, okay.
So Barry, we mentioned BlackRock. So there's a group that includes BlackRock, NVIDIA. They are buying Aligned Data Centers in a deal worth $40 billion. And so they've got this group, what's it called here? I think it's AIP.
It's that consortium that they basically what got about $100 billion that they're working into into the
they're
AI
committing
space.
To. Yeah, and it has a bunch of different investors, some foreign investors, and they are looking to acquire Aligned Data Centers for $40 billion. So, again, that data center space is still really very, very hot. You know, you think of, I mean, we all think of, okay, all the machines and the chips and stuff like that that are going to go in to run the applications that are so critical. But I also encourage investors to think about the picks and shovels that need to go into operating those data centers, building those data centers. You know, you need wiring, you need cooling, you need heating, you need flooring, you need construction companies. Those are all...
Need some land. We need land.
Exactly. Exactly. Those are all things that investors should be looking at. You know, one of our favorite holdings is Vertiv. You know, as you drive by a Vertiv building, it looks like this plain vanilla... industrial distribution company. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't even look as fancy as that. I mean, the paint's peeling a little bit, but they do really good selling all the picks and shovels that these data centers need. And so it's really quite exciting to see how that goes. Now, with that said, we need to temper our enthusiasm in AI investments and make certain that we're making good choices there, because there is, you know, what many say, a bubble that could burst.
Yep. And of course, to stay up to date with our thoughts on the markets, get Bill's newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Or if you'd like to have a discussion with Jeff or myself about your portfolio allocation, give us a call, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. Have a great day, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.